We've been reading from John, from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. In fact, we start this week at a part of the passage that we even read last week. I'd call your attention to John chapter 6, verses 56 through 69. And if you'd like to follow along, it's in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 93. As we start this passage, we hear the words from Jesus. Jesus is speaking here. Let us hear the words of our Lord. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood, abide in me and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that the disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe." For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words to eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I was thinking through this sermon during this past week, I was anticipating what I would hear back from the kids when I posed the question about why they come to church. That was one of the questions that came to my mind as I read and pondered this scripture passage from John. As you might have guessed from hearing me preach these past several Sundays, I'm not at all different from many of these kids. I'm really not that different from most of you. Why did I start coming to church? Well, I started attending church because that was what my mom taught me from as long ago as I can remember. Sunday morning meant going to church. There were no ifs, ors, ands, or buts about it. It was interesting, though, that my dad never came to church with us. I kept attending church because, frankly, it became a habit. I attended church at some times in my life because I was intrigued by what they were teaching us in Sunday school. And besides, it was a great way to be near the cute girls from school. There were times, many times actually, when I attended church because I wanted to hear the preacher, to hear how he or she would interpret Scripture, and to hear how the church approached many of the stickier social issues. I sometimes attended church because I liked what they were doing, walking for the homeless, or building a playground, or helping to deliver meals to folks on Thanksgiving Day. I liked the way that made me feel. I attended church because of the network of people I could meet and become friends with, people of a like mind with me. And there were certainly times when I attended church because of the wonderful music. I love organ music and piano music and praise bands and choirs. There is so much religion in music. I also attended church because of the pageantry, the candles, the incense, the ceremony, the robes, the symbolism, baptism, and Holy Communion. And I attended church because I wanted my son to be raised with organized religion as well. But I must admit that when they started talking seriously about becoming a true Christian, about following the way of Jesus Christ, about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, then I got more than a little nervous. I felt unprepared, unknowledgeable, unworthy, and downright scared at the prospect of living my life in accordance with God's will, not my own. And to be perfectly honest with you, there are times in my life these days when I still feel those same apprehensions. Did I attend church in order to follow Jesus Christ? Well, yes, maybe. I can really empathize with the larger body of disciples described in John's passage today. I wonder how you would react if you were put in a similar situation. If we had that incredible experience of meeting Jesus in the flesh, of hearing him preach and teach, and hearing him promise, "The one who eats this bread will live forever," how would we react? The bottom line for those followers and for those of us modern Christians is this: it is tough to follow Jesus. There is a high cost of discipleship. This truth hit these people in John when they heard Jesus teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. In fact, their response was, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" The sobering message from this gospel passage for us here today is that each of us needs to think through our reasons for following Jesus Christ. Each of us must consider our own reasons for attending worship, our reasons for becoming a member of a church, and for participating in the ministries of a church. I asked the kids earlier, and I ask you all as well, why are you here? Why do you attend church? As you're thinking about that, it was a crazy thing this week. I had written my sermon, I had thought it through, and then I was reading through a book that has come to mean a lot to me, a book called Secrets in the Dark, A Life in Sermons. I don't know if you've ever heard of Frederick Buechner. He's a longtime pastor and compiled a book of sermons that was published this year. And after writing my sermon, I read one of his sermons called Hope. And I want to read to you some words that Frederick Buechner says. "We have come to this church, and for centuries, others like us have come to church too. So it is to them we should turn our attention, the people who came here over the years, and why they came, and what they found when they got here, or failed to find. People came to this church for the same reasons they came to any church anywhere, and my guess is that many of their reasons were just about as inconsequential as many of ours. They came because there wasn't all that much to do on Sundays, and there was no 9,000-page New York Times to drowse over. They came to see their friends and be seen by them. They came out of habit, because they had always come, and out of tradition, because their ancestors had come before them. They came to be entertained, maybe even to be edified. They came, even the ones who in their secret hearts believed very little, with the idea that just maybe there is a God who keeps track of who comes and who doesn't, and it is just as well to stay on his good side. Sometimes they enjoyed themselves here, and sometimes they were bored stiff. Sometimes they were set to thinking long thoughts about themselves and their lives, but as often as not, their minds probably wandered off onto the same anxieties, fantasies, daydreams that they would have lost themselves in if they had been riding the bus or waiting their turn at the dentist. And in all this, their ministers were probably not all that different. Sometimes their hearts were in it, and sometimes it was just a job to get done, a sermon to be preached, a collection to take. Ministers and congregations both, they came to church year after year, and who is to say how, if at all, their lives were changed as a result? If you'd stopped and asked them on any given Sunday, I suspect they would have said they weren't changed much. Yet, they kept on coming anyway. And beneath all the lesser reasons they had for doing so, so far beneath that they themselves were only half aware of it, I think there was a deep reason. And if I could give only one word to characterize that reason, the word I would give is hope. That was Frederick Buechner's thoughts, but I'm wondering about yours. I'm also wondering about this passage from Scripture, because, you know, the end of this passage describes an interesting situation, a circumstance that is actually very similar to what's going on in today's church, in our church universal as well. Jesus spells out in no uncertain terms what is involved in following the way of God, both the benefits as well as the cost of discipleship. For this reason, I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father. Scripture then tells us, because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went with him. When you start paying attention to this story and many other stories in the New Testament, you'll come to the realization that many more people heard Jesus speak than the number who actually accepted his call and followed him. In fact, the vast majority of people who heard Jesus and understood his message turned away and did not become his followers. The majority of folks who heard him. It's tough to be a Christian and to follow Jesus Christ. There's no getting around that fact. But you know, it's kind of ironic when you look at the reaction of the 12 apostles in this passage. After Jesus watches all these would-be followers leaving, he turns to his 12 hand-picked apostles and he asks them, "Do you also wish to go away? Have you finally realized how great is the cost of following me?" Simon Peter speaks up, talking for the whole group. "Lord, to whom can we go?" This sounds like a somewhat cowardly human response. "Lord, who would we follow that could offer us a better deal?" But Peter also fully understands what is going on. He recognizes the huge cost that each of them will have to pay, but he also sees very clearly the promise that Jesus is offering. Peter says, "You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." For Peter, that's all that matters. Sometimes it really is that simple. In fact, our mission in the United Methodist Church is really quite simple. The mission of the United Methodist Church is simply to make disciples of Jesus Christ. to make disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what we're about. And then from our mission statement, something I hope you know. As Burns Memorial United Methodist Church, we believe that God loves all people. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, we strive to share God's love through our words and actions. It's printed every week in your bulletin. How often do you read that? How does that mission fit with your reasons for coming to church? How seriously do we take our mission to make disciples of Jesus Christ? How do we live out that mission in our church life together? And how do we live out that mission in our daily lives beyond the walls of this church? Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Why do you come to church? I pray that you will think about that. Amen.